भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
गृहराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 11 स्वयं भुवमनु एडवाइजेस Dhruva Maharaj, text 27. Tameva mrityum amrita tata daivam. Tameva mrityum amrita tata daivam. Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Yasmai balim vishvasrujo haranti.
Yasmai balim vishvasrujo haranti.
Kamo yata vaina siddhama yantrita.
Kamo yata vaina siddhama yantrita.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Yasmai balim vishvasrujo haranti.
Yasmai balim vishvasrujo haranti.
Gavo yata vai nasi dhamma yantrita.
Gavo yata vai nasi dhamma yantrita.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Yasmai balim vishvasurjo haranti.
Yasmai balim vishvasurjo haranti.
Gavo yata vaina siddhama yantrita.
Gavo yata vaina siddhama yantrita.
Would you like to try?
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Tameva mrityum amritam tata daivam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam.
Yasmai balim vishvasurjo haranti.
Yasmai balim vishvasurjo haranti.
Gavo yata vaina siddhama yantrita.
Gavo yata vaina siddhama yantrita. Tam.
Tam.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Mrityum.
Mrityum.
Death.
Death.
Amritam.
Amritam.
Immortality.
Immortality.
Tata.
Tata.
My dear son.
My dear son.
Daivam.
Daivam.
The supreme. Sarvatmana.
Sarvatmana.
In all respects.
In all respects.
Upehi.
Upehi.
Surrender.
Surrender.
Jagat.
Jagat.
Of the world.
The world.
Parayanam.
Parayanam.
Ultimate goal.
Ultimate goal.
Yasmai.
Yasmai.
Unto whom?
Unto whom?
Balim.
Balim.
Offerings.
Offerings.
Vishvasurja.
Vishvasurja.
All the demigods like Brahma.
All the demigods like Brahma.
Haranti.
Haranti.
Bear.
Bear.
Gava.
Gava.
Bulls.
Bulls.
Yata.
Yata.
As.
As.
By.
By.
Without fail.
Without fail.
Nasi.
Nasi.
In the nasal. In the nose.
In the nose.
Nice slip. It could have been nasal. Nasi. Dhamma.
Dhamma.
By the rope.
By the rope.
Yantrita.
Yantrita.
Controlled.
Controlled.
Translation. My dear boy, Dhruva, please surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Everyone, including the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control, just as a bull prompted by a rope in his nose is controlled by its owner. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The material disease is to declare independence from the Supreme Controller. Factually, our material existence begins when we forget the Supreme Controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in the material world is trying his best to become the Supreme Controller, individually, nationally, socially, and in many other ways. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight and annihilate the whole race of yakshas. In this verse, therefore, Svayambhuva Manu seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. The words mrityum amritam, death and immortality, are significant. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am ultimate death who takes away everything from the demons. The demons' business is to continually struggle for existence as lords over material nature. The demons repeatedly meet death after death and create a network of involvement in the material world. The Lord is death for the demons, but for devotees he is amrita, eternal life. Devotees who render continuous service unto the Lord have already attained immortality, for whatever they are doing in this life, they will continue to do in the next. They'll simply change their material bodies for spiritual bodies. Unlike the demons, they no longer have it to change material bodies. The Lord, therefore, is simultaneously death and immortality. He's death for the demons and immortality for the devotees. He is the ultimate goal of everyone, because he is the cause of all causes. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to surrender unto him in all respects, without keeping any personal ambition. One may put forward the argument, why are the demigods worshipped? The answer is given here that the demigods are worshipped by less intelligent men. The demigods themselves accept sacrifices for the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadiko Rabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tameva Mrityum Amritam Tata Daivam Sarvatmanopehi Jagat Parayanam Yasmai Balim Vishvasurjo Haranti Gavo yata vayana siddhama yantrita. Like bulls with a rope through the nose are guided by a controller in the same way. Jagat parayanam. The Lord is the ultimate goal, which the whole world is pursuing. This is simply a statement that the Lord is the cause of all causes. That whatever we can seek is not outside of Krishna. The Vedanta Sutra starts with the aphorism, Janma Yasya Yata. It's the definition of the Absolute. That it's that from which nothing is different. Everything is the origin. It is the origin of everything. The cause of all causes. In observing the principle that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, that principle can be used to infer a cause for every experience in the world, every object in the world. If we know that every action comes with a reaction, that's just another way of saying that everything is the product of a previous action. Whether that thing is gross or subtle, there's 8 separated energies of the Supreme Lord. Earth, fire, water, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. First 5 are gross. This list categorizes them from gross to more subtle. Earth, fire, air, ether. Or earth, fire, air, water, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. False ego is the most subtle. It too has a cause, and ultimately that cause is the Supreme Lord. Everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhava matah sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha pavasamandita. I'm the cause of all causes. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So, everything emanates from him, includes our desires. The whole world is moving on this principle. Raso vaisa. Everything, everyone wants some taste. Everyone wants some happiness. Some relishable relationship. The ant is looking for rasa in the sugar. Someone may be looking for that rasa in music or in this or that. And everyone is practically looking for it in the opposite sex. That seeking of rasa is inherent in every living entity. Therefore, it's said also in Vedanta Sutra that the nature of the soul is to be pleasure-seeking. Famous aphorism, but it's escaping me right now, the Sanskrit. Prabhupada quotes it quite a lot, actually. The nature of the soul is to be pleasure-seeking. So this desire definitely comes from the Supreme Lord. But right now, we're not finding that pleasure because we're seeking it independent. We're trying to find it somewhere other than the source of pleasure. We're looking for pleasure here and there, but we're finding only the product of Krishna's illusory energy. We're finding his illusory energy. Form of earth, fire, water, ether. We're also finding subtle pleasure in mind, intelligence, and false ego. We're thirsty for pleasure, and all we're finding is a drop. This world contains pleasure. This world is not false. But because it's so limited, it's just not practical. It can't. are themselves unlimited. The only way is to be satisfied is to have access to the unlimited ocean of pleasure. We're in the desert. We're finding a drop of water. Okay, it's a drop. And we might sentimentally glorify that drop of water, but practically it can't satisfy us. No matter how much hyperbolical glorification we give to it, it's still hyperbole. After realizing this, you can become a devotee or you can become depressed. Anyone who realizes that this world will never satisfy me will either become a devotee or will become depressed. And in the interim, if he chooses to be a devotee, he may also be depressed at first, because it's not completely surrendered. This is a personal realization that I've had, that I realized that I'm actually ashamed to be happy.
In a material sense, or
altogether, just in general. And it has become a block in spiritual life for me. It's become an obstacle. If I see that, if someone sees that I'm happy, the mind tells me that they're going to think this person is not working hard enough, otherwise he'd be suffering like me. And so I end up taking on more and more responsibilities to be above suspicion in the vision, in my assumption of how others perceive me. This is already quite convoluted, and it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It becomes the modus operandi of my whole existence, is to suffer and glorify that suffering as noble. We're all meant to sacrifice. That's a fact. However, misery is not required. There's a difference between sacrifice and misery. For someone who's attached to sense gratification, if you take away the thing that he likes, then he suffers. And he may mentally be able to justify his suffering and say that I'm sacrificing this thing that I want so bad, and I'm suffering for the benefit of others so that they can enjoy. It sounds noble, but it's an illusion, because it's not your thing to give up. The concept that it was mine in the first place is an illusion. So Srila Prabhupada often gives the example that if you start an equation with a wrong calculation, 2 plus 2 is 5, then from there you may make many elaborate and accurate, insightful equations based on that wrong assumption, and the end result will always be wrong, even if all the subsequent calculations were right on the money. Because the basic principle is wrong. 2 plus 2 is 5. In the same way, I'm thinking that I'm giving up something which is mine, and I'm suffering. That basic principle has to be understood correctly, or all the altruism, all the self-sacrifice that's inherent to the soul, because that's what's going on in the spiritual world, becomes a perverted reflection and becomes selfish ego. Selfish ego can manifest as pride or as depression. They're actually still me first. either. I'm so, I'm just so deserving. I'm so entitled. Everyone should submit to me, or I'm so worthless, I'm so useless that everyone should exploit me. But the subject of both is me, whether positive or negative. Neither of those is spiritual life. Both of them are material life. We're thinking that I'm the doer. Ahankara abhimudhatma karta hamiti manyate. The bewildered soul thinks himself the doer of activities which are in reality carried out by the three modes of material nature. If we can somehow be Krishna conscious, meaning aware of Krishna's position, our relationship to him, then whatever other misunderstandings we have will automatically be rectified. If my self-sacrificing attitude leads me to sacrifice for Krishna, then he'll give assistance how to adjust the basic misunderstanding. Tesham shatata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. For those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. None of us really know what love is in the material world. But if we're trying, Krishna accepts it as if it were pure love. So we're doing everything we can. He gives us the understanding by which we can come to him. That understanding may be it may require, and it will require, radical changes of assumptions about life, changes in paradigm, ways of perceiving reality. That sounds very abstract. So, to make things more concrete, in my example, it's useless to be ashamed of being happy. It's not required. The only virtue is Krishna consciousness. Everything else can be sacrificed. And eventually Krishna is going to want everything. Sarva dharma prityaja mamekam sharanam bhaja. We have to be able to throw our hands up in the air and not even hold back a single string. Someone says that Krishna doesn't care what you give him. He cares about what you don't give him. That's the thing he wants. Whatever it is. It is a gradual process, so patience is required. But there should be proper understanding, at least. From there, one's in a position to move forward. That's the 12-step programs say. The first step is to admit that you have a problem. This is how Krishna can say in Bhagavad Gita, a statement which is sometimes misunderstood. He says, those envious persons who take part in the nature of demons, asurim bhavam ashrita, who take shelter of the nature of a demon, I perpetually cast them into the lowest species of life. This can easily be, especially for those of us who were raised in Abrahamic traditions, can easily be taken wrongly. saying that Krishna is eternally damning anybody. At least I and many people I know were extremely sensitive to that fear, that any moment God is going to say you're eternally damned. And we look for it in any spiritual tradition. We're trying to find that part where that happens so that we can reject it, punch a hole in it, and say, okay, moving on with life. We don't need this. But perpetual here refers to our free will. That's perpetual. Our free will is perpetual. At any minute, we can accept Krishna consciousness or reject it. So, because that free will is inalienable, in the same way, we can choose to always try to be the lords of material nature and subject ourselves to karma. But at the same time, and this is the key point, which is missed if we misunderstand it in that way, we're never beyond redemption. At any moment we can surrender to Krishna and perfect, everything's perfect. At any moment. There's never a point of no return. Apiche sudrachara bhajate mamananya bhak. Api certainly che sudrachara. Achara means activities. Durachara means bad activities. And sudurachara means such bad activities. abominable activities. But even if a devotee performs such abominable activities, sadhvara eva samantavya, he should be considered a sadhu. Why? Because he's rightly situated in his determination. Next verse explains that he'll quickly become righteous. Okay. I think that's enough. Would you like to share something?
I was wondering if you have, if there's a way of balancing out, because the other day you were talking about how some devotional services more of a sacrifice, while the other is almost all pleasurable. You know, some emotional service is really easy and pleasurable to do, and some require some sacrifice. And it seems like we all need to do a little of both. But how do you know if you're falling too far into one or the other?
We have to revise our definition of pleasurable. If we can make association with devotees pleasurable, then we can have as much pleasure as we want. As possible. As much as possible. Of course, we can't control whether or not there are devotees around. In the ultimate sense, we're never alone. And we're always in the association of devotees. But at our level of realization, we can't control who's here and who's not so much. We have very limited ability to the behavior of other people. But if we can make that our source of pleasure, that's very healthy. And we can continue that as much as possible. And it never degrades. It never it never brings us into material consciousness. It always liberates us. Anything else is not reliable enough to depend on as an independent shelter. No other service, apart from the association of devotees, is a reliable shelter independent. Whether it's chanting or anything else, we're not qualified to practice Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees. That one should be our source of pleasure. And if it's not in the beginning, let it be duty. In time, it will turn into pleasure. Does that address the issue? Maybe I missed something.
Well, I was thinking that, we all have our services and ways of promoting ourselves that we enjoy. You know, it's always nice to sit down and chat for a while. You feel good after you're done, and association is always nice, and you always feel like you're ready to take on the day or whatever after you association. And just being in the temple, you feel different, but as soon as you walk out, you realize, something's missing now. So there are some things that you do that are just, really nice. But should everyone have some type of thing like that they're always, something that they don't think is the most pleasurable, but they think is important to be done, that they should try to inculcate in their lives somehow?
Yeah, that's already there for everyone. No need to cultivate that. Generally, I can't think of anyone who doesn't do anything that they don't want when they want.
But specifically, if you want to do some service for Krishna, and you're like, all I really do is I do my association, I take the shadow, I get the chant, I don't really do any of the hard stuff, though,
That sounds like the spiritual world. I think everyone here has to sacrifice, whether they like it or not. If we have that problem where everything is nectarian in Krishna consciousness, keep going. That sounds good. That doesn't sound like a problem. No need to change that. Have you had some experience of that where you feel like there's no problem? And that you'd rather there be some problems.
I feel like when you're in a relationship, you don't want to just be a taker. You want to be a giver somehow. And with all the things that I feel like I'm doing right now, I'm always getting some kind of pleasure from it. But I'm never. I don't feel like I'm ever actually giving something.
Okay, in that case, we have to examine our life and see. Is there anything I'm doing which is not a service? Maybe all the services I do are giving me pleasure. But are there any experiences in my life which are not giving me pleasure? Look at those closely and see. Am I doing this as a service? Because then I'll realize, whoa, there are services I have which don't give me pleasure. I just didn't think of them as services. But if you're completely free of all anxiety at every moment, that's Vaikuntha. Literally. Kunta means anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So if that's the position, that's Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma no sochati na kankshati. That's being in the spiritual platform. And that's very good. That way you can continue very steadily in devotional service. And you want to give something, then there are many people who would like to receive something spiritual, so you can help them. Little prasad. Even just being there as a friend can be enough to attract them. Then one day, because of the nature of this world, they'll go through something intensely troublesome, and they'll turn to you for shelter because you're their friend. Then when they ask you for it, then you can very comfortably give them whatever you have to offer, a book or the holy name, something. That's the way to give. No anxieties, huh? Absolutely zero anxiety in your life.
Well, I feel like it's always. Everyone has anxieties. I'm not talking so much along the lines of anxiety, but I just feel like with my kids, for instance. we play, Kane and I play chess, you know, we'll watch a movie together, we do all these things, you know. But, you know, and those are all fun to do, you know. I engage in those kind of activities with him. But there's some things that I do too that aren't easy, you know. He has a lot of trouble with school, so he requires a lot of attention with his homework. You know, he'll come home and it's as if he didn't learn anything at all. And he needs to not only do the homework, but he needs to be taught it first. You know, and it takes up a lot of time. By the time I'm done, it's like 9 o'clock and I'm like, I haven't even started my homework. And I'm supposed to be in bed right now, you know, if I want to get up at a decent hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some things that require sacrifice and they're not easy to do. I'm not gonna say they give me like great anxiety, but they're just not, they're not full of bliss and pleasure. And,
yeah.
And that, you know, that's part of, you know, for me, it's just what I do. It's just what you're supposed to do. And, you know, sometimes I feel like my relationship with Krishna isn't like that. You know?
But that, see, right, that is your relationship with Krishna. Your service to your son is a big part of your relationship with Krishna. And so that's why, that's what we have to re-examine, the way we look at it. Is this Yatkaroshi, is this something I do? Then Madarpanam, do it as an offering to Krishna. What does that mean then? How do I do that as an offering to Krishna? It's an investment of time and energy. This person has come into your life. Krishna has given you access to this person, responsibility and influence over this person. And so cultivating that relationship with him where he comes to trust and value you and your role in his life will allow you to have spiritual influence over him. Perhaps not at this moment, but eventually he'll take shelter of you. That's why it's said that one shouldn't become a father or a teacher or a king unless he can deliver his dependent from the cycle of birth and death. There's a role to play. You cook for him, you can cook prasad also. I know you cook now, I've seen your Facebook page.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Fine details will require detailed point-by-point discussion, which is outside of the scope of a Bhagavatam class. But in a general principle is that we should all have some spiritual guide who can answer these questions on an individual basis. I may not be the best person for that, but there's somebody for everybody. I can try, but I just can't take full responsibility for such detailed information. Does that sound okay? It's a very important question.
Yeah.
Learning to see everything as a service to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.